in that, looking at the disciples, and the disciples, a man had brought him to the disciples. And I've preached from this before, but oh, how the Lord began to move on my heart today. And he began to talk to me about this, and the Bible said that, he said, I brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't cast him out. They couldn't cast him out. They did me no good. And I preached on this morning the defeated attempt of the church. And I just began to move on my heart today. Matthew chapter number 17. Basically the same passage of Scripture, just a different gospel. Recorded in Matthew, Mark, and also the book of Luke. About this demoniac boy. Or this boy that was full of demons. Or the devil that tarred him and tormented him. Here we have another account written by Matthew. And Matthew tells us in chapter 17, verse number 19, and the boy has been brought to Jesus, and he has touched him. He's been made whole. Verse number 16 says, and I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered, verse number 17, O faithful, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have a faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Jesus went on to tell them that he was going to suffer at the hands of men. And the disciples, in one gospel, said they were sorry, or they became sad at this saying. In another one, they said they did not understand what he was talking to them about. But what really gripped my heart is chapter 18 and verse number 1. And the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Amen. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Of heaven. Verse number 19, chapter 17 said, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now I know this is two differing scriptures here. One's talking about, they're asking about position. One's asking him why this thing was undone and why they didn't have the power to do it. But I believe if you look at them, they tie together. And a lot of times when I read that, and in times before, I read that passage of Scripture and thought about, they asked, why could we not cast him out? And I wonder if it was their concern for the boy, or just that they were ashamed of their lack. I mean, were they truly concerned about what had happened, or were they just ashamed? Amen. Because the people looked at them and saw they were not what they professed to be. And what really boggles my mind and saddens my heart is, just a few verses away from that question comes another question. They're not worried about the boy. They're not worried about what happened that day. But they're worried more about position. They're worried more about what their status is going to be when Jesus has came in power and His kingdom has been established. They're worried about where they're going to sit and what kind of authority they're going to have. And that's troubling, ain't it? It might not trouble you, but it does me. And I want to preach to us tonight on the question. Amen. On the question. Would you bow your heads? Ask the Lord to help us in this service. Dear Heavenly Father, God, You know everything tonight. You know our downsettings and our uprisings, Heavenly Father. You know everything about us. And God, we ask You tonight, oh Lord, to move in this service. God, help me deliver this message as You laid it on my heart. Help me tonight, God, to preach in such a way, amen, that men will see their need for more power, amen, more relationship, and a closer walk with God. Help us tonight. I said, Lord, help us tonight. You know, as far as the church world goes, and I'm talking about all the churches in general, not just the Holiness Church, but let's just say in this area, you look at us and you begin to compare us to other churches, and by the worldly standard and by the standard of the church that has backslid, got away from God and got caught up in things and activities more than the power of God, we're lacking. Amen. They look at us in a small crowd, and they look at us, we don't have the fancy things, don't have the meetings and all these things that everybody else has, and they think that we don't have anything to offer those that are in need. I talked to a man just yesterday who pastored a church in Wrightsville and said he had 60 youth that went there, Baptist church. He began to talk about how they had this activity and that activity, amen, and how all these things they had for them to do. He said, I got up the other night. Amen. He said, I told that youth group, amen, are you here for this club? Are you here for this activity? If you are, I'm shutting it down. Amen. You ought to be here to experience the power of God. And he was sitting there, man. He had an audience. Everybody's nodding their head. And they're going, oh, yeah. Amen. That's right. So many are caught up in this and that. And the Lord smote my heart. And I looked at him. I said, what I want to ask you is, did you mean it? Amen. He said, what are you talking about? I said, did you really mean what you're saying? Amen. Are you willing to push aside all the activities and maybe lose attendance and the numbers go down? Amen. To push the church, amen, to have a genuine experience with God. Amen. I said, did you really mean what you said? And you know, he bowed his head. He didn't say a word. And he walked out of the store. I don't know if he got mad, agitated. It seemed like he did. But it seemed like he took it to heart. Amen. That's what the world says. Amen. Give them more of this. Give them more of that. But I'm telling you, we need to give them Christ. Amen. Crucified, resurrected, and sitting at the right hand of the Father. The answer to their problem. I thought about the great challenge that faces the church. Amen. Here it is. They brought this child to Jesus. And so many have come to the house of God. And I wonder how many have left disappointed. Amen. Not only, I'm not talking about down the road. I'm talking about right here in the house of the Lord. Amen. At Union Grove. I wonder how many have came to church. Amen. Desiring something. Amen. Looking for a change in their life. Amen. Maybe they remember the church from years gone by. Or maybe they remembered, amen, how it was at their church. Or maybe God just laid it on their heart. And they came out of curiosity. Amen. Came to the house of God. Amen. Here's the challenge that is set before us. Amen. To create an atmosphere. Amen. To pray and
such a way, amen, that it'll be more than just a social event, more than just a few people gathered together on a Sunday night, but a genuine experience in the Lord, where the power of God is manifested. I mean, more than emotion, amen, more than just getting excited, more than just ripping and snorting every now and then, but I'm talking about experiencing, amen, the power of Almighty God. You know what drew me to the church? Amen, when I got saved, what made me want to get closer, what made me want to dig deeper, amen, was the demonstration of holy living and the power of God in the house. Amen, I begin to crave it. I begin to desire it. And that's our challenge tonight. Amen, that's our challenge every day. Amen, to live in such a way that our lives would demonstrate the power of God, that men and women might take note that we have been with Jesus, to walk in and feel a change. Amen, to walk in and know something's different, to be convicted over sin, amen, and see their need to call on God.
Amen. Well, I think we got it backwards a lot of times. We've come to the house of God, and I'm thankful for everybody that's coming. Amen. I'm thankful for each and every one. I was telling Brother Josh just this while ago. Amen. Bobby came up to me after church, and he said, Brother Jim, or he calls me Preacher Jim. He said, Preacher Jim, we'll start seeing you every Sunday. And now I don't know what it might have been, but I think it was Thursday or maybe Wednesday. I was coming out of a parking lot, and Miss Kathy got out of a car and saw me, and we began to talk standing right there. Didn't have much time, and she began to tell me how they liked it, and she began to tell me even how different situations were. Can't come at night. I got a sick mama she's got to take care of, and I didn't want to hurt no feelings. I didn't want to make anybody mad, but I felt the Holy Ghost moving on my heart, and I said, Miss Kathy, I'm not your pastor. I said, but I will tell you this. You need to find your church and settle down. Amen. Stop going from church to church. You're never going to get help doing that. What you need to do is find you somebody to have confidence in. Amen. A pastor that you rely on. And settle down and get in. And push it with all that you got. Amen. I thought about that this morning. Amen. When they came. And Bobby said, we're going to come. And we're going to make it a home church. I thought, man, I'd like to welcome them. I want them to know I love them. I want them to know we care about them. I want to know if we're trying to get them, amen, closer to God. But I don't want to make them comfortable. I want to see them under conviction. Amen. They ought not be able to come into the house of God. Amen. Living, amen, out of the will. Amen. And living in sin and feel comfortable. That's the challenge. Amen. To create an atmosphere where the power of God is so strong, it will grip the hearts and lives of men and women.
Amen. I'm going on with this, and I got some more to preach to you. I'm telling you, we've got a great challenge. Amen. We've got a great challenge that is set before us. What a world. What a world. Amen. We're living in where men are dying every moment, lost and undone without God. Amen. The world's trying to get the church to back off. All the time the Spirit's telling us we must draw closer. Amen. There must be a deeper relationship. It's not about the lights. It's not about how fast the music is. It's about the power of God. Amen. I remember Brother Bill Houston saying one time, amen, shut down the music, and see how many shouts in. Come on now, amen, get rid of that fast beat, and something that excites the flesh, and see how many get up and shout then. Amen, I'm telling you, we've got a challenge to be full of the power of God in our lives. Thank God that men had answered that challenge. I said, thank God that men have answered that challenge. Amen. We were more concerned about ourselves and our own personal pleasure than our long time with God. You know, we got to the place. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Amen. We've got to the place. Amen. We've got so conceited. Amen. We've got so wrapped up in who we are and what we think we have. Amen. That we don't need the power of God. Oh, Lord, I can handle it by myself. I can witness to people. I know the Bible. Amen. But hey, without that convicting power, unless the Spirit draweth them, amen, there's going to be no salvation. Amen. There's going to be no conviction. Amen. We need that power. Amen. We need the Word and the Spirit and the power all mixed together. Yes, there must be a head knowledge. Yes, we must study to show ourselves approved. Amen. The more you read this Word, the more you're going to love Him. But not only that, there ought to be a heartfelt experience, a life that demonstrates the love and power of Almighty God. Amen. When a man don't pray, hear me now. When a man don't pray, he's conceited. Come on now. He'll sit on a church pew. Come to church. Amen. Act like nothing's wrong. And don't have a prayer life. Amen. He's conceited. He thinks he can do it all by himself. Amen. He's wrapped up in himself and the pleasures of this world. Amen. We've got so wrapped up in pleasure and position. Amen. Look at the disciples. They're not worried about that boy. They're not worried at this moment in chapter 18 whether he got healed or didn't. They're not worried about what their lack was and what they didn't have. Amen. Their hearts were not grieved. I've seen men. I was in a service one night in Bessemer, Alabama. And a man got up. And I try to watch this. I really do. I mean, I've said it. I've had to repent over it. I really did. It's your last chance. You walk out of this door. Amen. You, my God, ain't going to ever call you again. Friend, you say that, you better know it's God. You hear me? That ain't something you all tread on very lightly. That's something you ain't all tread on very lightly. Amen. Brother G.C. Roper was sitting beside me. And oh, he's a great man of God. That preacher got up, man. He preached good. I'm telling you, boy, he knew how to do it. He knew how to bring it down. He knew what illustration to use. He knew how to jerk on them. Amen. Make them get in tears, feel sorry for this one or that one, as he gave the story that tugged on their hearts. But the power of conviction wasn't there. Amen. I'm not talking about the man. But that night it was not there. So he tried his best to put up something or invent something that was not there. But I remember that night vividly. Amen. I remember that night vividly. He got in that pulpit and sinners all in the house. He was packed. Amen. Begin to point and say, tonight's your last night. Amen. You better get right with God. If you step out the door tonight, God's never going to deal with you again. I would not leave this grounds. I would not go out of this parking lot. Amen. If I were you. Amen. Death awaits you. Amen. Hell is on your heels. That's what the man said. Amen. Went on to preach. Made an altar call. Nobody responded. Finally called the church in. Amen. Brother G.C. was a good friend of mine. Amen. He helped young preachers. That old man. Amen. I don't mean that respectable. Amen. Disrespectable. Amen. But old Brother G.C. Amen. That old man could really do it. He could preach. And I remember him preaching at the Allentown camp meeting one year. Had blood clots in his legs. He said, the doctor told me that I ought to stay home and not come down here. He said, I'll probably not give you boys much today, but I'm going to preach to you.
hour and a half later, he finally sat down. And long did that man preach. It wasn't much longer after that he died, went on to glory. But that night outside, they were all eating. Didn't have a fellowship hall, but had tables lined up. And I watched one of those young boys as they walked out to their car. And in my heart, I'm thinking, that could be. I took what the preacher said to heart. Amen. I walked up to him, began to talk. I begged him to pray. I asked him, did you want to go back in the church? And he was polite. He wasn't rude. He said, maybe another time. Amen. I didn't feel like it was his last time. Amen. But I did feel like he needed to pray. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I mean, that's just Bible. Amen. That man went out. He was eating, talking to his friends. Amen. The preachers were all gathered round. Amen. And they were laughing and cutting up. Oh, Brother G.C. walked right up in the midst of that bunch. He didn't care what they thought. He didn't care how it sounded. He said, you, brother, were wrong. Amen. He looked at Brother G.C. and that old man rebuked him right there in front of all those preachers. He said, if you felt that way in the pulpit, you ought to feel that way in the parking lot. He said, here you are stuffing your face, laughing and carrying on, and you feel like a man's finna die lost and go to hell. I'd have hung on his bumper. I'd have crawled in the car. I'd have done everything I could. Amen. He had to drag me out of here if I knew he was going to die lost. And the night was a night. I'm telling you, it's not about ourselves. It's not about a show. It's not about what we can offer, but what God has to offer through us.
Amen. You can talk it all you got. When it comes down to it, what do you have? Hey, amen. They were so conceited. They were so, amen, worried about position. They was worried about where they was going to sit, how they was going to rule. Oh, and all the time God had the power for the church. All that time, amen, God had the power for the church. Amen, it's one thing for men to want to mount a pulpit and be in charge over a congregation. Amen, it's one thing for men, amen, to want to be in leadership position. But it's another for men to want to get in a place and women to want to get in a place. Amen, that not only do they have position, but they have power with God. Amen, notice what Peter told that man at the gate called Beautiful. He said, silver and gold have I none. Amen. It didn't have riches. But he said, such as I have. Amen. They later on realized and they got right. And the power began to move in their lives. What happened after Acts chapter number 2? One of the greatest revivals of all time. 3,000 souls saved. Men and women calling on God. Healed by the power of God. Why? Because somebody said, amen, I'm not thinking it's me, but it's in Him. And that makes the difference.
You know, we watch people. I'm telling you, it changed my life about 6 months ago. Why do folks come sick and leave sick? A lot of folks come lost and leave lost and feel like they fit right in. And we never ask ourselves, why? I hope you do. Do you ever ask yourself, why are things this way? Why can't we see this happen in our church? I saw things happen in Panama that were unreal. I mean, to see it happen, you can't hardly explain it, but to have been there. And instant healing. I mean, it wasn't nothing for those brothers to believe for tumors to come off. Amen. They've seen it before and they believed. The disciples said, why could we not cast him out? Why couldn't we cure him? Why didn't we have the answer? You know, we don't even ask why anymore. We're not even concerned why things are like they are. We're not concerned why people leave the same. They came into the house of God. Well, oh yes, Brother Jim. Amen. I'm concerned. Amen. Humanly, I believe we are at times. Yes, our sympathy goes out to them. I don't believe anybody in here wish somebody to be sick. Amen. I don't believe anybody in here. Amen. Wants Sister Joyce Gay to die with cancer. I don't believe that tonight. I don't believe, amen, that you have that kind of heart. But what I'm asking us tonight, amen, are we concerned enough to do something about it? Amen, you can know a tire's going flat. You know what most folks try to do? Amen, they put fix-a-flat in it. Or they'll try to patch it. Amen, they'll try to get by with it. Another time, another day. And then they catch themselves down the road with a blowout. And why did this have to happen? If we just took care of the problem at the onset. Amen, went ahead and got things fixed. I'm telling you, we ought to be concerned tonight about why we don't have power like we once did, or why we're not experiencing revival, amen, like we wanted. I'm genuinely heartfelt concerned. I want to see God move. I'm asking somebody tonight, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to commit yourself to God and say, I'll just sacrifice, I'll do what I can, amen, to see the power in my life?
Jesus gave him the answer. Amen. He concluded with this. He said, this kind comes out with prayer, fasting. This is my take on that. I read after commentary, and he said, it's a special kind of devil. He had to pray and fast to get him out. I thought, how stupid is that? I know there's different things, infirmities, different spirits. Everyone I ever dealt with had to pray and fast to get it out. Oh, now. You think about that. But Don Rich said, a woman called him up on the radio one time. Said, my son's demon possessed. Won't you come cast the devil out of him? Brother Rich said, I'll be right over. So all of a sudden, the Lord smote his heart and said, you ain't ready. You pray. Fast. But Rich said, he called her back and said, I'll be there in 1 week. So he prayed and fasted that whole week. Said, God moved on him that day. Go to that house. Knocked on the door. Said, that woman came to him. You could tell she was worried, concerned. Said, that boy was a raving lunatic, man. The devil had such a hold on him. He was so possessed. Said he come running down those stairs, had long hair, had a wild look in his eyes. Said he come right for Brother Rich. Brother Rich said he stuck out his hand, said, in the name of Jesus. That boy fell to the ground and got delivered right there. Hey, amen. You know what we want to do? Brother Russ McDonald said we want to shake him Oshai. Hey, amen. Just dance around a little while. Grab a hold of somebody and say, in the name of Jesus, hey, amen, you are free. I'm telling you, it don't work like that every time. Hey, amen. It ain't how it happens a lot of times. Hey, amen. But when men and women genuinely pray and seek the face of God, hey, amen, they begin to look for heaven. Hey, amen. They begin to look for answers and say, listen, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm concerned about what's going on. Hey, amen. Jesus told me the answer. I gotta pray. I gotta fast. I gotta sacrifice. I gotta get along with God. And if I do, amen, I'll have power. Amen, with heaven. He's already gave it to him. In the chapter number 6, I believe it was. He said, I'll give you power to cast out devils. Amen, begin to give them power and authority over the legions of hell. But yet here they've lost it. I wonder if they got lack. I wonder if they got slack in their devotion. Got slack in their prayer. Asleep at the wheel. Unconcerned. Hey, amen, I'm telling you. We need to get back and get concerned about the things of God. I've told this here before. I remember years ago, I was in Panama. And man, there's a brother there. That boy fasted 40 days. Hey, amen. He's here 3-4 times a year, 40 days. He's skinny as a rail. TJ, you fat compared to him. He's skinny. But man, the power of God. He passed away preaching in the pulpit. He was having a youth camp. He was in a bad, in a Kuna neighborhood. Everybody there was Kunas. It was in Panama, not on the islands. It was in the city, in a suburb, real nasty place. Kunas all around there. Man, they're so caught up in idols and witchcraft and voodoo. Man, there's evil spirits all around that place. Folks come in shouting. And old boy just walked in amongst them. He's just walking. Had an all wild eye. And he just be looking around. All of a sudden, somebody goes speaking in tongues. He lay hands on him. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That devil just manifests itself. I ain't never seen nothing like it. And the power of God on that boy so strong. One night he couldn't come. He was sick. I was there. I was praying. Man, they'd been casting out devils. I'm talking about two or three a night. It wasn't play, man. It was real. I could tell you when somebody had one. He'd walk up to you, and I don't know if that devil fought me or not, because I got a weak stomach on some things. He'd walk up to you, start talking to you. It's such a smell in their breath. Man, it just turned your stomach. And he'd go, oh, this is horrible when they begin to talk to you. You have to turn your head. We begin to pray for them. They begin to just breathe on you, seem like. And the more you pray, the more that just got up in your nostrils. And the devil trying to get you to turn, not pray. And oh, we plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. And I thought, man, all these young people, all these people here, we really need the power of God. That night, we was casting out a devil out of a boy. The whole time I was preaching, he was staring me down. Man, he didn't even cut his gaze. He looked at me. I knew he was evil. Man, I knew he was evil. We got to praying. He came out and just looked at us, standing there while I was praying for folks. We laid hands on him, began to pray. He fell to the floor, began to convulse. I mean, all kind of stuff coming out of his mouth. Him a-cursing in Spanish like you ain't never heard. Them brothers gathered around him. Man, they didn't play around. They set on him. And they hold him down. We get to praying. I was praying for that boy. We'd been praying probably about 30, 40 minutes. I mean, sweating, praying, asking God, pleading the blood. That old boy looked at me and in plain English, he said, I know you, and you have no authority over me. He said, you're not strong enough to cast me out. He don't want me out, and I won't come out. At that moment, I realized the devil was right. I didn't have enough power. Amen. I wasn't prayed up like I should have been. Amen. Them young people asked me what he said. I told them. You know what they did? Amen. I'm talking about a youth camp now. I'm not talking about elders. I'm talking about a youth camp. Probably the oldest ones there are 16, 17 years old. Amen. They said, Brother Jim, we won't eat till 5 o'clock every evening. And all we'll have is soup. Amen. If you get somebody to fix us soup, we won't eat. And he'll meet us here in the church every morning at 5 o'clock. We'll come and we'll pray before the 8 o'clock service. Talking about sitting around all day playing games. Amen. They came in at 8 o'clock. We taught them till 10. We took a break for 15 minutes, come back in, taught them till 12. At 2 o'clock, they came back in, got taught again. And then they met at 6 o'clock to have service that night. Amen. They begin to pray. And they begin to call on God. I remember one morning, a drunk man come walking in. He was being loud and belligerent, talking out of his head. Amen. Walking around trying to scare those young people. I thought, oh, man. God's trying to do something for us, and this man's going to hinder it. It'd been about 2 days of fasting and praying. Those young men and women gathered around him. They began to lock hands and call on God. Amen. Probably 20 minutes later, amen, that drunk man was born again in his right mind. I mean, as sober as I am tonight, it couldn't have happened. I'm telling you, it did. Amen. Somebody got concerned. Somebody said, I'm going to discipline myself. Amen. More than pleasure, I want power. Amen. More than personal gain, I want to see God move in my life and the life of others. Was it Calvin that said he's going to those heathens, those cannibals? I think it was John Calvin. Captain looked at him and said, sir, you shall surely die and all your men. He looked at the captain and he said, sir, we died before we came. Come on now. We're living in a world where everything's handed to us. You know, folks, just whether we want to admit it or not, well, I ain't got what they got. And you got far more than folks I've seen. Amen. Some of you already seen it. Been on mission fields. Been to places where folks are poor. You go watch a man ain't got nowhere to live. Go to his house and you can see through the walls and they got cardboard trying to have privacy. Sleeping on the floor. They get ready to go to bed at night, take an old box, lay it down. That's their bed where the young'uns lay. And they're happy to serve the Lord. And here if the air ain't right, everything ain't just going our way, then we're spoiled. We are spoiled. I know this is different now, but it's what I feel in my heart. And we are a spoiled people. Amen. That just, if it don't come right when we want it, we don't care nothing about it. The thing is, we talk a big talk. But the world wants to see. Well, let me put it this way. They need to see what Christ has for them. I had folks in my work say they're coming. I said, Lord, oh Lord, let me be an instrument used by you. Lord, let somebody in the church pray and get a hold of God that when they come, it'll be more than just, I enjoy the singing. Man, that was a good sermon. It moved me. You know, a lot of times folks pass on the back and say, man, you preach good. I never heard it like that. We think, I thought the other Sunday, Miss Kathy came to me, and Mr. Bobby, I was standing there, she said, oh, that sermon touched my heart. I thought to myself, that ain't what I want, just to touch your heart. And then I want to get to a place that you feel that need to come and get your heart changed. Oh, Lord, I want to live for you. I don't need your word. Lord, I want to see you help me in my life. I want to have power to overcome. I don't want to pray and fast. Come on now. We ask the question, but are we really concerned? Is it just because we wonder why sometimes? Or do we really want the answer? My dad used to say, you ask him something, and he knew you wasn't really wanting to know. He'd say, you really want me to tell you, boy? Sometimes I had to think about that. Amen. But oh God, would you just shine light in my life, in the hearts of others. They might see their need to draw closer to you. And do you ever think, why am I the way I am? Why am I not closer to God than what I am? I'm closing. We say it's circumstance. It's situations. That's what they taught me in college. You are what you are because of your environment. You act like you act because of those around you. That's a lie. It's a lie you could be a godly man amongst all them heathens. Come on. If Jesus could stand when the scribes and Pharisees sought to kill him and did kill him, you can blame it on everybody else. We can blame it on the church. We can blame it on the people. We can blame it on those that ain't here. Or we can say, Lord, it's me. I'm asking you, what must I do? What must I do? I know, man, you might not feel this like I do, but oh, my heart's heavy. My heart is so heavy. I've been praying, man. I've been asking God when I go out to witness, Lord, just don't let me talk to somebody. Let my heart be broken. Let me have power. Let me feel you. And I talked to the Mormon boys yesterday, man. My heart was so broken. I thought, man, they've been indoctrinated in this. As strong as I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, and the Son of God, He died for us, we might be saved. As strong as I believe that, they believe Joseph Smith is the way. They believe He tells all. Amen. That's who they look to. I thought, man, let me say something and have such a spirit
about me that they can feel the difference in my heart and life. Stand to your feet with us tonight. Amen. We're living in a wicked hour. We're living in a wicked hour. I was coming across over here yesterday, last night, to get some stuff out of the church, come get my Bible, my preaching notes. And I had a flashlight I got for Christmas, and the kids had been playing with it. And I'd use it some too, and I came in, I began to shine it. It probably lasted 60 seconds, and then it went real dim. You know what you do when that happens? Get some new batteries. Because you realize next time you need it, it ain't going to be no good. I ain't getting no batteries. Sitting on my dresser. Probably next time I pick it up, I'll be like, man, I should have put batteries in this thing because I'm going to need it. That's where we are a lot of times in the house of God. Lord, we need more you. Then we come and say, man, I know I should have prayed more this week. I know I should have really talked to God more. And we'll realize it's going to be too late. And I hope your heart's stirred. Everybody that will, let's come gather in tonight. Won't you ask God what you need? Amen. To be closer to Him. What He talked to your heart about. Amen. To be closer.